Good morning. Let's pray. Precious Abba, we love you so much. And we can't even compare the awesome love we have for you with the amazing love that you must have for us. But we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying to receive that revelation richer and richer every day of just how much you really love us. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be right here, right now, with these lovely people, the ones you've sent for this service. We bless you. We love you. Oh, Lord, we need you in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I have a title this morning called Into the Breach. I endeavor to be led of the Spirit on what I teach, how I teach, when I teach. And I'm blessed with many sermons. There is at least 1,000,001 sermons in this little book right here. And they're all mine, and I'm planning on preaching every one of them. Eternity is going to last longer than you think. And I'm going to preach them all. But every once in a while, being led will bring you over into the presence of the Lord, where he actually moves being led up a notch, and he begins to instruct and compel and command, if you will. And this sermon this morning is not necessarily one that he has led me to bring forth, but he's compelled this. In my heart, I feel compelled to deliver it. It's like God got my attention the last few days, and he says, I want you to do this. I want you to be on this subject. I want you to speak forth what I want you to speak. Now, this all starts back about a month ago when we were in Phoenix at Start the Year Off Right meetings. And there's always, you know, at these bigger meetings, there's book tables and music available and such, and I always like to pick up on what's the latest in new music. And one of my favorites comes from Glory of Zion International Ministries in Dallas, and because their music is very prophetic, and I'm just really into that now. And I picked up this one, and on the title says, Once More Into the Breach. I just picked it up. It looked interesting, and I got home and turned on my faithful tape recorder. Now I'm telling my age. Turned on my CD player. That's almost antique. And the first song that came up was the same as the title on the album, Once More Into the Breach. And my first thought immediately is, that's just kind of a strange song. It's kind of odd. What kind of weirdness is this? And at the same time these thoughts are coming, my spirit's jumping on the inside, like, get this, get this, get this. This is a prophetic word for you. Get this. I have a little prayer room with my shop at home where I work. It's also a prayer room, a warrior room. And I play Christian music 24/7 in there. You go in there and you won't even find the apparatus that's playing the music because it's hidden in a cabinet locked away. And I just turn it on and it just plays forever. Maybe once or twice a week I'll go change the CD or switch the channel to Spanish radio where we get Christian music from Pastor Jose Luis. But I keep Christian music going 24/7 in there. Well, after I played this Once More Into the Breach, for the next 2 weeks, 9 out of 10 that I walked into my shop or my prayer room, guess which song on the CD with 12 songs, guess which one's playing? Without fail. It's like 9 out of 10 times, I believe it's a safe estimate. It's just, and usually if something else is playing, it would finalize and this one would come on, or, you know. It was just always there. And every time I'd hear it, my spirit would, get this, get this. And here in a minute, we're going to play that. But I want to read you the words, because sometimes music being a little bit louder than the words, it's hard to understand what they're saying. And so I want to read you the words, and that'll help you as you hear it to recognize the words. It's number one on the album, guys, when we get ready here in a minute. I want to define the word breach. B-R-E-A-C-H, breach. And to define the word breach, number one, a breach is a broken, ruptured, or torn condition. Number two, a breach is an opening made by breaking through it. Number three, a breach is a failure to act in a required or promised way, you know, breach of contract. And the fourth definition for breach is a leap out of water. But in my thoughts, when I heard the word breach in this song, I immediately went in my rocket scientist mind back to the old war movies that I enjoy once in a while. I know I'm not supposed to preach on war movies, I'm supposed to preach on the Word of God, but I'll get there. But I began to visualize things I had seen, not only in movies, but in history. I'm a history buff. I read history books like you eat popcorn. I just love them. And I begin to imagine a breach in a battlefront. I can remember one such true history story in the Civil War at Gettysburg, the Battle of Little Round Top, where the Union troops held a line on the high ground. But the opposing troops from the Confederates came, and they came with such strength into one point that they breached the line. In other words, they ruptured, opened the line of defense. And so the commanding officer on the hill began to call out for volunteers that would be willing to even sacrifice themselves to close up the breach. I can remember history of back in the hand-to-hand combat days of, let's say, like in the Crusades and back in those days when knights were bold, you know. And the wall is broken down and there's a breach in the defense. And volunteers are called, and they're called to the point where they begin to come into the breach and suffer death, and come into the breach and suffer death, till they actually fill the breach back up with their own dead bodies to close the defensive wall. And so in my heart, once more into the breach sounds like blood and gore and sacrificial volunteers giving up all that they could ever be or live for the cause of defense. The song goes like this. Once more into the breach, my friend. Once more into the breach. If just 1 ounce of courage remains still within your reach, heaven's champions are watching us now. And deep calls into the deep. So once more into the breach, my friends. Once more into the breach. Just when our arms are too weary and we can't catch our breath, just when we think we can't do it again, we try, but there's just nothing left. Bring yourselves to the full height, you heirs, for the line has been drawn in the sand. Stiffen the sinews, summon the blood, and call up your courage again. Where are the banner bearers? Where are the trumpet blast? Where is the mighty triumph reserve? The ones who've completed the test. Now is no season to lay down you daring. Sabaoth summons his band. Bring yourselves up to your full height, you heirs, and call up your courage again. And in the night, our sentinels hear the hater whisper his fell plan. To mar our hope and to slight our God. And to make us accept our chains again. So run through the camp. Sound the alarm. Awaken the warriors. and let's go up again. Once more into the breach, my friend. Once more into the breach. Oh, that's God in me. Jesus. I want you to play that song, if you would, please. Keep the volume pretty high so they can hear the words. We can leave the breach open and allow the enemy to pour in. Or we can do whatever it takes, even in sacrifice, to stop up the breach. We see the breach that is open on a worldwide global scene where people and nations are fighting against a flood of enemies, enemies of their soul. And a few faithful missionaries out there are trying to stop up the breach, hold back the enemy forces. We see the breaches in our national lifestyle, the breaches of moral decay, and the breaches in our military defenses, breaches in our national borders, breaches, spiritual breaches, ruptures in the line of defense, ruptures in the standard of the Christian lifestyle. And the enemy wants to come pouring through the breach. And God's saying, who's going to stand in? Who's going to fill up the breach? In our local scene, the local government and its residents of dear old Douglas, lives have been breached. And the enemy has come flooding into their lives. The enemy has come flooding into the families. Possibly you have family members and are part of a family where the breaches have ruptured open and the enemy has come flooding into your family, doing great damage. And God's saying, who's going to stop that? Who's going to fill up the breach? The call's going out once more into the breach, my friend. You say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I prayed for that loved one. I prayed for that family a million times. I'm tired of praying. I'm tired of believing. I'm tired of standing. I'm tired of filling up the breach. I'm just give out. And yet the Holy Ghost is crying out to us a call today. Once more into the breach, my friend. Who is willing? Who will volunteer? Who is willing to sacrifice and come and stand in the breach and stop the flow of the enemy? In our personal lives, you get things going right, you get your day plan right, you get your Bible study time right, you get your time with God right, you get your life going right, you get your giving right, you get your receiving right, you get your fellowship with the other Christians right, you got things working pretty good, you go into the church that works for you, and you know, and all of a sudden there's this breach, there's this rupture in your personal life, and you realize the enemy comes flooding in and you're doing stuff you didn't want to do. Never been there? The Spirit of the Lord is saying, once more into the breach. Once more into the breach. You can't let the enemy keep flooding in. If it costs you your life, once more into the breach. The defensive line must be held. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm presently reading a book on Arizona history, and it's focusing on Cochise County and some of the cities that were famous in times past, such as Tombstone. And I read something that really spoke to my heart. The author of this book, talking about towns, ghost towns that have died on and such. And I began to visualize Douglas and what we see happening here. And the author put it in words like this. He says, "Be careful to distinguish between the physical appearance of a town and its present population." And I'm interested, rather than the names of the town he used, I'm going to put Douglas in there, and it reads like this. "Distinguish between the empty buildings on G Avenue, which are representative of the dead past. Distinguish between that dead past and the present residents who are living and breathing and crying out for hope and help." Now back to the empty places on G Avenue. The truth is, and the facts are, and the figures don't lie, Douglas is on the increase, and there's more new, more prosperous businesses now by far than those older businesses that closed up and have empty buildings. So, you know, if the empty buildings on G bother you, go to a street where they're living. But distinguish between the empty buildings and shells of the past and the residents of the present. When we moved here into this town, we'd been worked here for about 2 years, working, living in Sierra Vista and working here for a couple of years across the line in AP. And December the 10th, 1987, we moved here to Douglas from Sierra Vista. And from the time we took up residence here, our family received and continues to have a divine assignment to pray for Douglas, to stand in the gap, to hold the line of defense, and to fill up the breach with our very presence and our prayer. If you were brought to Douglas by the hand of God, more than likely, at least part, if not much, of your assignment in being here is to help us do that and fill up that breach where lives have been ripped open, where the city has been ripped open, where the neighborhoods have been ripped open, our border atmosphere has been ripped open, and the enemy tries to come flooding in. Do we get tired? Do we get discouraged standing in the breach? Standing. Well, there's an alternative. We can step out of the breach and allow sin to come pouring in, but the loss of ground and loss of lives would be unbearable. You think it's rough standing in the breach, facing the enemy face to face, hand to hand? You think it's rough? It's nothing compared to what would be if you stood aside and let the enemy come pouring in. Many of you are one of a few in your family that's been born again. Some of you may be the only one in your family born again. You have a divine assignment to stand in the breach and prevent sin from pouring in through the break and conquering your whole family, your whole tribe. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've experienced it. I know some of you here today that you could say, I'm like the only one in my family. And I'm the black sheep. I'm the outcast. I'm the only one standing in prayer. I'm the only one standing in faith. The Spirit of the Lord says, once more into the breach, my friend. Once more into the breach. Some of you have fallen and failed and sinned. You've repented so many times your repenter's worn out. You just want to give it up. And the Lord says, once more into the breach, my friend. Once more into the breach. Don't allow sin to come flooding through the break in the wall. We're going to look at some Bible scriptures that have to do with the breach. I'll be using the Old King James for this particular reading. And several, about half a dozen scriptures or so here. Let's start with 2 Kings 12:5. "Let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, his family. And let them, the priest, repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found." You say, well, okay, well, there's one for the preachers. Guess what? If you are a born-again believer, you are a preacher of righteousness. Whether you stand behind a pulpit or stay on your knees in your prayer closet, you are a preacher of righteousness. And the Lord is, by His word, is calling us as priests, as representatives of the kingdom, as representatives of the ministry of Christ. He's saying, for your acquaintance, for your family, repair the breaches of your house. In Psalms 106:23, therefore He said that He would destroy them. This is God. God had said that He would destroy them, the children of Israel, had not Moses, His chosen, stood before Him in the breach to turn away His wrath, lest He should destroy them. You say, well, what? I don't get that. What's that all about? Well, let's just read the account in Exodus 32:7. And the Lord said to Moses, okay, everybody remembers Moses, 2 year old. In the account where he received the Ten Commandments. Now we're getting familiar, right? And the Lord said to Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And they've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Thank you, Mauro. Next verse, verse 12. Wherefore, Moses responds here, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he, God, did bring them out to slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth. Oh, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self. And saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. The Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do to his people. This is the account that David was talking about in the Psalms when he said Moses stood in the breach. Israel, the people of God, Israel, those who had the word of God, they had the leadership of God's man of power for the hour. They were going somewhere under the leadership of the Almighty. But sin came in. There was a breach in the line of spiritual defense. There was a breach in the line. And through this breach, this rupture in the defensive line, the enemy come pouring in. And to the extent that they were doing God-awful things, ugly things. They took off all their golden earrings. According to the Word of God, they took off all their golden earrings and threw them in the melting pot. That in itself signifies, gold signifies the nature of God. And when they took off their earrings of gold, it's like they gave up their ability to hear God. And they threw it in a pot to be melted together and molded into a molten image, a calf, and called that calf, that golden calf, God. God says, enough is enough is enough is enough. I've seen doubt and unbelief till it's running out my ears. Enough is enough. I'm just going to destroy them, and I'm going to start over with Moses. Moses stood in the breach for the whole nation of several million people. He stood in the breach. He said, no, God. As the history continues in the verses to follow, at one point Moses said, Lord, if you're going to strike them, just strike my name out of the book of life. If you're going to take them, take me. You won't start over with me. Take me with them. He stood in the breach. Another scripture, please. Exodus 22:30, I believe we're on. Prophetically, the Lord, by the Spirit, is speaking here through the prophet Ezekiel. And the Lord says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Unlike the story of Moses and how he stood in the breach, here we have another account of where the enemy had come in. There was a gap. There was a break. There was a breach. And sin was pouring in to the people of God. And God was saying, I need a man. He's saying here, I need another Moses. He couldn't find one. You say, well, maybe God, why didn't God just do it? He can do anything, right? Why didn't God just do it? Why does he have to look for a man? Why does he want another Moses? Why don't he just do it? Because he is divine and has made a sovereign decision. And he's made up his mind and he's made his decision and he says, I will use man in my plan. I will work through man in my plan. Isaiah 58:12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called, somebody read that for me, the repair of the breach, the restore of paths to dwell in. This is a prophetic word for our generation. As God restores the waste places and raises up the foundations that have been broken down, he's calling us to be repairers of the breach, restorers of the paths to dwell in. Once more into the breach, my friend, once more into the breach. That loved one you're standing for, that healing you're standing for, that nation you're standing for. Once more into the breach, my friend, once more into the breach. In Amos 9:11, the prophet Amos has something to say here. Again, prophetically for our day, in that day, this day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I'll raise up his ruins and I will build it as it was in the days of old. Something that would take a whole nother session and lesson to fully explain, but just in a short version here, that you might ask the question, why would he raise up a tabernacle of David rather than a tabernacle of Moses? Try to make the long story short here. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant home after it had been captured by the Philistines, the enemies of God, David did not take the Ark of the Covenant to the temple of the tabernacle of Moses. He built his own tabernacle tent for it. And he designated priests and he designated singers and musicians that played 24/7. And in Moses' tabernacle, only the men could come in and worship. No women, no children, no foreigners, no one that was sick or maimed or crippled. David's tabernacle, where he placed the Ark of the Covenant, he says, I'll welcome everybody. Now the priest and the high priest and the priest of the day were still just down the street in the other older church in the tabernacle of Moses, and they're still offering sacrifices every day. But the presence of God's over here in David's tabernacle, where the Spirit of Christ is at reign, saying, bring me the maimed, bring me the crippled, bring me the children and the women, bring me the foreigners and the strangers, bring everybody in. I got the praise and worship team warmed up. And they're playing the songs of Zion 24/7. Bring in the crowds. Go out on the street and compel them to come in. Everyone, no matter how they look or how they smell, bring them in so they can praise God with us. Hallelujah. And this is the tabernacle of the New Testament church that is being restored in this day and in this hour, where everybody's welcome to come and enjoy Jesus. Oh, it's a beautiful story. Woo! With this New Testament tabernacle of David, this New Testament gospel accepts whosoever will may come. I want you guys to put on some, in fact, that the music we just played, use this same CD and go to number 2 and play it with volume down low and just let the tape run. Until we're done here, song by song by song, just keep the volume low on it. And I'm going to ask Barbara to come and join me. And I'm going to do this. For you who have been standing in the breach and you're so tired, you're so tired. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, once more into the breach, my friend. And you're saying, Lord, I can't make it. I can't get there. I'm too tired. Your hands are hanging down and your chin is down on your neck, on your chest. And you say, I've had it. I'm tired. I've prayed 10,000 prayers for my community. I've prayed 1,000,000 prayers for my family. I'm How can he say once more into the breach? I'm breached myself. Barbara and I are going to join with you in prayer today and ask God to strengthen you so that you can accept the call and answer the call and move into the breach one more time.